Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Edit audio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Robin Hopkins, and this is Well Adjusting, where I talk to people about life stuff, but not in an NPR way. It's more like we're at the bar, having cocktails, getting into your business sort of way.
It's giving drunk NPR.
Oh, and producer Steph is here too.
Hello.
Today, we chat, well, the mental game of finances. Hi. I'm so excited to be here today. I mean, this is like next level excited because one, we are talking finances, which we all know how much I love to talk about finances. And then two, we have our former expert of the day, now like absolute cemented into the well-adjusting community expert, Asia Evans, with us today.
Yes.
Yay. Thank
you
for having
me. I'm so excited. You are a financial therapist and coach, and your goal, which I love, is to help you feel better about your money. I mean, who could not use that is what I say.
Everyone.
Right? Everyone. So we're recording video today, which is so exciting. How many times do we think I'm going to hit this plant? 100? Is it like a drinking game?
I'm going 50.
All right.
50.
I was going 30, but now I'm lowballing.
I always look at money like in the most simplest form. Like I compare it to food, right? Calories in, calories out. However, if it were that simple, everyone would be at a weight that is, you know, the weight that they want to be at. And I feel the same way about finances. Like, it is a simple thing. If you spend less than you make, you will have leftover money. If you save money, you will have money in the bank. However, many of us struggle with money, are in debt. So I want to start there and I want to ask you, like, the why of it, because you are both in the therapy world and a coach and right. You specialize in finances.
Yeah. So I think, and I forgot who said this, I think it was the man who wrote The Simple Path to Wealth, that money is simple, but it's not easy.
Ooh.
And I think that's where we kind of get hung up as we're trying to navigate what this means. We are also, you know, we live in a very consumer-based place.
For sure.
Flashing lights. Hey, in your face, you need this. This is going to help you get to that ideal weight. You need this because you want to be this person. Who's your ideal self? What do they dress like? What do they look like? What do they smell like? Let me buy the things for my ideal self, but it doesn't necessarily take care of what's happening on the inside. And that's what we need to kind of shift. So it's inherently emotional, but it's really easy to pretend it's not emotional. That, hey, if I buy all these things that is the ideal version of myself, I'll feel like that person right away without having to do an internal change or shift. And, you know, people hate change. We hate change. We hate being uncomfortable.
I don't know what you're talking about. I embrace change.
So totally and fully.
Not even one bit. Well, I love what you said about the consumerism side of thing, because I think that's something that we haven't talked about a lot. And it's something that I don't often think about. But like I remember reading someplace where they were saying that whole thing of like only two left in red letters is absolute horseshit often. Like there is more than two left. But they just want you to feel this sense of urgency. It's almost like the like button and the Amazon of it all. I just this morning was like, we need a new blanket. And then I was like, I'm looking at cotton weave blankets. And I was just like, and I was almost ordering. And then I remembered that we were trying to budget. And I was like, no, that can wait. And I'm a person who's very aware about money, aware about my spending. Like if you aren't, it's a setup.
It's quick and it's easy. And That is,
and it arrives at your door.
Right.
Just like every ad I record for a podcast. It's quick so and easy, quick. Arrives at your door.
And that's what it is, right? Yeah. When you need something, say your blanket. Mm-hmm. And
that sounded so sad. Say your blanket.
You need that blanket. You know, we all really do sometimes. Do, I really want a weighted blanket, as you were saying. That's what I was thinking about.
I can get you one to your home door tomorrow.
Exactly. Quickly before you get home today.
Right. If you want it, you can get it immediately.
Yeah.
That's hard to say no to. It's also a sales tactic to provide a sense of urgency and scarcity that says, hey, if you don't get it, you're not getting it at all. And
yes,
humans really like immediate gratification. We
sure
want
do.
To, hey, I bought it, it's coming to me today. Like, that's ridiculous. I don't need anything coming to my door today, but I really like it.
I know. And I like not having to go to 14 shops. Like, we used to have to, like, get in the car or walk or get on a subway, go here, shop comparison. And now I can comparison shop, like, from my desk in my jammies.
Right.
And it arrives at the end of the day.
And you're disconnected from your money when you're doing it because it's yes. a credit card. So it's not even like you're pulling the money out of your wallet or something to say, okay, there goes my 20, 50, whatever. It's quick and easy. It's already saved in your, like, system. In the checkout, you don't even see the money leaving. You're not even thinking
about
it.
Yeah, and then you just get the bill and you're like, oh, shit.
If you check
what
it.
What happened this month?
Yeah,
right. If you check it. Well, we're talking about, like, kind of like the impulse and the urges behind it. But, like, what about the emotional connection? Because I think it's like, all right, if it were just that simple, you saying that would bring awareness and then people would go, oh, let me just think about that. But I often talk about how there's also, like, a filling a void, or I don't feel good about myself today, or, like, generational money trauma. Like, Steph and I talk at length about, you know, being poor kids, like the fear that I now have attached to money. Like, I don't know how many people recognize that's a thing.
It's everything. It's everything. It's everyone. We've all gone through it. And I think this doesn't come up enough. It does not matter how much money you had
or have.
I think because of, you know, some of the wealth disparities that we witness in our country, it's really easy to say, oh, well, if poor people did this, or if poor people had that, we are budgeting because we're poor. We are budgeting because we need this, or people who don't have a lot of money are in debt. We kind of think about finances in a way that it's only one side of the spectrum, as if people who have money have no money issues, have no problems, have no emotional baggage around their money. And that is incorrect.
Some of the people that I know that have the most fucked up relationship to money come from money.
Right.
Because in their family, money was used as love, control, and they have the most fucked up relationship to money.
Right. Like,
that's so common.
Yeah. And we don't talk about it because the way we look at money, it's like, oh, if you need to talk about money, then you don't have any.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's just not
the case. And also, it's your fault.
Right.
Like, what did you do wrong that you're poor? Like, everything is like, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, it starts, some people don't have education around money, but it's not just the education. It's that you may have an entire generational path of fuck the man, or this is how we get by, or you know what I'm saying? Like, it's there's
totally
historical.
And it's also too, like, money is a really great way for people to cope with what's going on.
Yeah.
So if you are really stressed out at home,
food, like alcohol.
Right. Right. It's another vice. And the money allows you access to something else. So if you are stressed out at home, whether it's where your work or your relationship or just parenting, or you feel lonely or you don't love yourself right now, your self-esteem is in the trash.
What are you talking about?
It's really easy to just say, you know what? I'm going to go shopping and be amongst the people who don't have other problems and feel like you are now, quote unquote, normal.
Yeah.
That you can't tell that somebody else is going through very similar things because you're shopping and now you're going to dinner and you're getting drinks with your friends and you feel so good. And then you come home, you look at that statement and you're like, fuck, I'm back at square
30 one. 30 days later.
Right.
Like, and then it's just a big number and it's not the isolated incident.
Right. So it's a really good way to cope with things. So when we start talking about the emotional aspect of money, what I want people to do and what I encourage people to do is start thinking about, why am I doing this? What's going on for me that it feels like I need to escape into this other life, into this other feeling? And get honest about that, because that's what we need to change.
Yeah,
we want to change your spending and, you know, get on track and be stable. Yes, very important. But that's more number concrete stuff. The things that are going on in people's life, their real lives, are not as concrete. It's gosh, I don't know if I want to be in this marriage anymore, or I can't afford to move, but I can't afford to stay. Like, what do I do? Or I want to have a third baby and there's no time, space, or money for me to do that. These are really hard issues to reconcile internally, and we don't want to because we don't like change, and it's hard to be that introspective.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, wait. We are recording in literally Times Square, so we're just going to pause for a second for sirens. What are the things that people come to see you for?
Well, what happens in kind of like a more therapeutic space that I find is people think they're coming for one thing, but they're really coming for something
else. Ain't that always the way it is?
And so the one thing might be, hey, Asia, I really want to level up with my money. I really want to be doing different things, but I realize there are some challenges or blockers that I face, and I want to get to know those and be able to move on from those. And those challenges are like, I grew up and I didn't have a lot of money, or I'm still in the scarcity mindset, or I feel like my mindset is fucked up, but I don't really know what that means and what's going on. So that's kind of stage one. And then, you know, we work together. And then what's really going on is, oh, me leveling up into this different financial stratosphere makes me feel like I'm leaving my community. It makes me feel like I'm leaving my family, my friends behind. It makes me feel like I don't quite fit in with these other people, but my people, it doesn't quite fit the same way anymore. Mm. And I am uncomfortable. Who am I if I can't go back to my roots?
Yeah.
So it starts off as one way and you get a little deeper and it's usually something else.
I come to you, right? And I'm like, I am in $35,000 of credit card debt and I hate this and I don't know what to do. Where do you start?
So usually I don't start with the money stuff. I do want to know kind of like what's going on. Yeah. So if it's 35,000.
How did we get here?
Right. Yeah. What? Why? Why now?
Yeah.
Why now? Very therapeutic.
Because if it was just like, you know, there was a health issue and it blew up, then they wouldn't need to see you. You just have to like tackle it.
Right. And why now is also, this is irritating you enough that you need to do something about it. Like that's how you feel. And I like my clients to be at that level of motivation for change.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, it's really easy to, you know, willy-nilly your way into like, yeah, I want to change, but I'm not quite ready, but I'm not quite sure. And that is a personal preference as for me as Asia, as a therapist. Other therapists are okay getting people to that point, but I am a little more action-oriented.
Ooh, I love this.
So if you came to my office, you're like, this is what I'm in, my credit card debt. I actually am not even talking about the numbers. I'm like, okay, let's talk about how you grew up. So what was money like for you? How was it talked about? Like literally start from your first money memory and let's go through your life and just tell me about it. And they're like, well, I want to. I don't want to talk about my parents. I'm like, yeah.
Nobody ever wants to bash them.
And I understand because there is a lot of, especially in communities of color, there's a lot of respect and reverency towards some of the sacrifices or just effort. And I'm a parent, so it is a sacrifice often. I love them and I'm willing to do it, but
isn't
it's still
crazy
a sacrifice.
That you feel like you have to say that after?
Yes.
Every fucking time. You can never just be like, it's so hard. I love them. It's like, it's just
it's
fucking
hard.
Okay.
Because of that, as an adult, you're like, I can't say anything bad about them. They did their best. They did all that they could do. And that may be the case. And it is true for many, many people, but sometimes that has an impact. Sometimes
doesn't mean you got didn't get handed a bag.
Right.
You know, it
just means that you needed something else. It just means that they weren't able to meet you specifically where you needed them to meet you.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they didn't love you or sacrifice for you or do all the things. It just means that you needed something a little bit different that wasn't provided for you. And it is at no malicious intent from anybody. And I think that's really hard for people to just label the feeling.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is not about your parents. I just want to hear how you felt about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's like so you can discover when you're in that space of I'm about to click the blanket.
Right, right. So it could be what you saw happening with the other adults around you, whether it was your guardians, your parents, whoever. How did they handle being upset? There are some people who know, oh, when my mom was upset or when anything was going on that was a little stressful, we went shopping. Right away, they know.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, well, that coping skill may now be your coping skill, but why are you shopping? Like, what's going on? So what we're trying to do for me and my clients is just understand where the patterns are coming from and where they started. So that's getting things, you know, moving a little bit to figure out what is at the root.
Yeah.
And then we can figure out, oh, well, that connects to what I'm doing now in this way.
I think every single episode we've had about finances, the people come in thinking that we're going to just create a budget for them. And every time I'm like, you know, we're like the person sitting in a car and talking about how their parents are opening credit card in their name. And we're like, you know, like we're just like our fate, like mouth job. You know, there's no way we can even talk about budgeting. And what's so amazing is like Steph is actually working with a past guest, like helping them set up a budget and stuff. Cause we just like, we couldn't even get to it because it was like, girl, your parents did this to you and we have to, you were actually our expert in that episode.
I remember.
Do you find that people get that pretty quickly or you have to really do a lot of work to have them see the patterns?
Some people are ready and I have found that some clients who are doing their own kind of developmental work, like personal development, mm-hmm. if they have been in therapy before or if they're in therapy at the same time, which I really like, I have clients that I started seeing before I niched down into financial therapy where I am their more like generalist therapist. But now I'm like, well, we're definitely talking about your money.
Yeah.
Like, I can't leave that alone. Like, no. So they know now. And these are people I've worked with for a long time. So if somebody's been doing some of the work, if you will, on themselves to kind of explore, it can happen pretty quickly.
Yeah.
If this is the first time that you're doing this, we might be going through some stuff.
It's going to be a little messy.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go through it to go through it. I keep thinking like sometimes you talk about something and it just goes in the back of the person's head and then there'll be a click later. You know, it's like when I started working with our very first episode, Aileen, and it ain't too mm-hmm. late to fix your finances. Like she called me up and said, I want some help with a budget. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I got my spreadsheet out. And then we had like 5 minutes of a call and I was like, girl, we have to actually block off some more time here. I was like, you do realize that you make the same amount of money I do. And you're on, I don't know how many mortgages on your house. Like, we're going to have to talk about the connection. And we sat for like, it was probably like 3 or 4 times that we just sat and talked, yeah. including coming on the podcast. Mm. Then from there, she went and got real help. It's like, it takes a minute for some people to see the patterns. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like, these are often like lifelong patterns.
Exactly. And that's what you're trying to change. That cannot change in 45 minutes.
No.
Right? You can set up a beautiful budget.
No matter how good producer Steph is.
No, I mean, it's funny that you brought up that example because when I started making that budget, mm-hmm. I mean, I think Robin and I both have this toxic trait where I'm like, I'm going to fix the thing now.
But we can fix it for you.
There's a problem. I'll fix it. Like, I will find
I won't be able to sleep
until
I fix it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like, I have to fix it now. Yep. And like, that is not a realistic or healthy. But so I'm like, I'm making this budget. And part of that is for me. I'm like, I need to help this person. I need to make this budget, you know? But like she was not ready for the budget when I made the budget and I could give it to her and be like, well, why aren't you filling it out? But like she had all of this work to do and it's still doing it. And the budget is helpful because it's there. It's meant to be there forever. Like,
yeah,
the budget was for like 10 years. It was like a 10-year plan. It wasn't like a 30-day get out of debt free. Like the problem is like going to take many, many years. And that's even just the spreadsheet. Like then there's all this stuff happening underneath that.
Right. And it's also she has to be aware that she wants to change. And what happens is that even though we know it is emotional and it is also about the numbers, we want the numbers win quicker
mm-hmm.
than yes. we want the emotional change. People think that the hardest part is going to, let's get to the root. What are my patterns? And then we figure them out and they're like, okay, I'm cured.
Fixed.
I'm fixed. I'm like, well, funny story now is like the hard part because mm-hmm. now you know what's going on. Mm. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to change your behavior when some of these things start coming up. Yeah. So you as a person want to go back to everything that you've been doing the last, you know, 20, 30 X years, whatever it might be. But now I'm telling you and you are telling you that you have to do something different.
Yeah.
And that is what's really hard. That's why change is so hard because when you are stressed out, when you're going through a lot, when there's a lot on your mind, it's easy to fall back into the normal kind of everyday systems that we have and just do it without thinking about it. It's a habit.
Yeah.
Versus saying, oh, the new me needs to do this. The new me is keeping this nice budget that was made for me. The new me has to do it this way, and that is different, and I don't like it, and it's uncomfortable.
Well, and that's the cycle of it, right? Is that you are asking yourself to do a hard thing, and when do you do these patterns? When you're in hard moments.
Right.
I think people aren't prepared for after you see the light.
Right. And it's so, you're so uncomfortable with the debt that you want it to be gone immediately. Mm-hmm. And you think that now that you have this new plan, that it can be gone just as quick. And that is discouraging when it takes a lot of time. Like, I think people hear the number, and I'll stick with the $35,000, thinking about what your salary looks like. Can you afford to just give $35,000 to something else in a year?
If you could, you wouldn't. Well, that's not true. It is, but
I mean, you might get into debt still, but I think that's what people want. They don't think about it as like, oh, what's my salary? Okay, I pay taxes or I'm paying these other things. Do I have $35,000 to give to my debt to be debt-free in a year? And, you know, sometimes the answer is no.
Yeah.
And I don't think people look at it as that money has to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard to, oh, well, why can't I pay this off in a year? I'm like, well, you know, 35 divided by 12.
Yeah.
Do you have that much money a month to give to your debt?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. It's fine if you're like, okay, well, I'm going to get my bonus, but what I'm looking for
is bonus, like, that bonus thing is always the worst.
Kills
people. I'm going to clear it all up when I get the bonus.
Okay, great. I hope the bonus is as big. And are you going to stop doing this?
Yeah.
Like, this is really stressing you out. If you kind of just get out of it because of the bonus, that's great. I love that for you.
But then don't do it again.
Exactly. And that's what happens. And the same thing happens when people, you know, try to take care of their credit card debt with a loan.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I don't know if I trust myself. I'm like, if you're even questioning it, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
You can only do that when you are already like at a more healed place.
Right. I don't think people understand how hard it is to overcome certain systems, right? So yes, we have the societal systems that we all live within. That's very difficult. But then the difficulty of just, I really want to go to brunch with my friends.
Oh, I know.
And saying no when you have to say no, or saying yes when you can say yes. But I think we really underestimate how emotionally connected to money we are and what happens to us. We just want to pretend it's not that big of a deal. Let's spend it and it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And it's just not.
I look at like my daughter, who's a little bit of a spender. Mm-hmm. She's a little like avocado toasty. And I'm like, girl, you don't have avocado toast money. I'll be like, brokey. I'll be like, you do not have that money. And then she'll like, stop calling me brokey. I'm like, well, let's look at your green light app. Mm-hmm. You don't have the money. Like, it's coming in, you're spending it. And then I'm like, you got to take your foot off the gas, Robin, because like, you don't want to like make it. I don't want to make it like horrible for her that she's like got trauma.
I think what happens with parents specifically is that when we have children, there's a level of us almost trying to like reparent ourselves through our kids.
What are you talking about, Asia?
Uh-huh. Yep. I'm like you said, we're gonna go there.
So when I was three.
You know, and we don't realize that our kids may need something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's really difficult because like, yeah, but I wish I had this. So I'm going to make sure you have all these things. And that's great. But your kid may need something else.
Yeah.
In a different way. So to have the access of like, yeah, you can go to Chipotle, but it should not be unlimited, because then it's still far enough away that they do not understand that this is coming from someplace. And then, you know, they're 18 or they go to college or they get a job or they move out or whatever happens. Now, all of a sudden, they're like, oh, I need to manage money. And it has felt unlimited before.
Exactly.
And that sets kids up for, you know, not feeling confident in how to manage money or getting into debt because they haven't been told no.
Yeah.
And I say that very respectfully to everybody's parenting. You have to decide where your boundaries are as a parent and financially. I do not want my kids unfettered access to my credit card. That sounds wild to me. For what?
Can you imagine?
Like, what do you need to have that you need what am my tens of thousands of credit card? Like, you know, like what? That's
exactly.
You know, as an adult, you have time and you built up credit and your credit limit may be $10,000, $15,000. You want your kid to have complete and utter access to that all the time?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, no, I do not.
I don't. And that's great if somebody else does. I love that for them. But make sure that you understand what the consequences might be when your kids have that unchecked access without having a conversation about it and maybe some personal finance education around it. And
I mean, emotions. Yeah, I'm like relating this. I don't have kids. So I'm like relating this to myself. I'm like, I don't even know if I want myself to have that access.
Exactly.
You know, like what's the checkpoint? Like for a kid, the checkpoint is probably a conversation with your parents or asking permission or a green light on an app or whatever it is.
Or a budgeted number for the month.
A number for the week, a mm-hmm. number for the month. Like there is that checkpoint. I mean, it's harder to parent that, but for the kid, I think there is a checkpoint.
Yeah.
For us, if we're doing it for ourselves, like we have to build that in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like it's almost even harder to understand what that should be. Like, what is my checkpoint? But I do think there's also a problem with some people don't have like access to certain conversations, like this one even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you feel like a portion of your work is like almost like opening up conversations for certain communities? Because when you say communities, like I'm like, oh yeah, I have certain people that I would talk about debt with, but I would never talk about debt with these people.
Right. Yeah.
But I'd talk about savings with these people and not with the, you know, and there's like guilt tied around it and privilege and
shame
and all of these things. But realistically, if we all could like get on like a global Zoom and like talk about our money shit, like it would be probably really long, but maybe great, you know?
I think it would be awesome. And I think a lot of people wouldn't like that because what the consequence of those types of conversations. Because
once you know, you have to do something about it
and,
or it's harder to ignore.
Yeah. And also your perspective changes. And a lot of people are making a lot of money from lack of perspective, I think is the best way to put it. So I definitely think my clients may not always know that they need the place to talk about money, but they do. And to be honest with you, this me niching down into this topic came because I needed a place to talk about money. I was like, well, who can I find that understands what it is? And I think I talk about New York a lot, but we live in a very particular place that is not as common as the country, right? Like New York is a very particular cosm of people and diversity and economic growth and money. Like,
yeah,
it is not
a lot of money in the city.
Right. There, it's not normal to see somebody who literally is homeless in front of a billionaire's house.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like when you are thinking about that,
no,
you know, we talk about keeping up with the Joneses. Who are the Joneses of New York? Like what?
Like Wall Street.
It's just infinite. And it's not even just in New York. It's people who live in other countries but have places here who are just every day walking around and you see them, millionaires walking around. That's not a very normal experience for the country. So I think that particularly when we talk about living in this type of place, it is all the time that you're like, oh, well, I will work out if I get that Stanley Cup. And look at that cute workout set. Is she going to that $45 class? I want to go to that $45 class. Maybe I will look like that. Maybe I will feel like that. It's just constant. And that's why it is so important to get in touch with how we feel emotionally about money. So yeah, sometimes I am the conduit, long story short,
but
of those conversations.
Well, what's so interesting is like the conduit both ways, right? Because for people that have less money, it's a conduit that you're providing access to conversations to just be like, you know, like I have friends that think $65,000 a year is like
a lot of money.
The 1%.
And it is. And a lot of other
in
places.
A lot of places it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I have, you know, some friends who are like, I make, I don't know, 250 grand a year, and that's not enough. And I think it's very rare that those people have access to the same conversations.
Right. Yeah.
And depending on which one you're closer to, I think you understand that side more, right?
Yep.
And so I think for you, it's like you're in this really interesting position where you get to see both sides and almost be like a vessel to like make the middle ground or something.
Yeah. And I mean, there's similar conversations. Like it doesn't matter if your net worth is in the millions or if your net worth is negative. Like they're similar conversations. They just come out differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're all trying to figure out like, oh, well, what does it mean for me to show up and have money? What does it mean for me to show up and not have money? It's all a lot of feelings. Like that's the best way I can encapsulate all the things that are going on.
Well, okay. So you are in debt. And you suspect something might be wrong. Where do you start?
If somebody's like, I'm in debt, I don't know what to do, I would probably first say, we need to make sure that you understand money.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do the personal finance education piece. So understand how you can get out of debt, understand what your budget may need to be. So let's get you on some kind of system or plan, however we want to call it. First, now that you're working that system and plan, you're going to have a lot of feelings that come up. Now let's talk about those feelings. Now it could be through a journal. Are you journaling your feelings about money? Are you talking to people about feelings about money? Are you just having some kind of outlet about what is going on for you financially that is not just you sitting in your head ruminating about what's going on.
No good happens with that. No good.
Because what happens is people get stressed out. They don't know what to do. And then they, you know, change their plan or do something a little drastic. And I don't want that for people. So start getting really honest. And sometimes it is brutal. It doesn't need to be. But sometimes it is just you have to sit down and have some tears and and just be honest about what's coming up. And I've had to go through that too. When I first moved to New York, I was like, I'm making so much money. And I was making $60,000. And to me, that was a ton of money.
Yes.
And it is a ton of money when you don't live in a major city.
When 50% of your salary doesn't go to rent.
Correct. It was a lot of money. And if I lived home, then I would have been rolling in the dough.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I lived in New York and it was very expensive and I had to figure that out. And there were times when I was crying and I was upset and I didn't feel as worthy as some other of my other friends who could afford to, you know, go to brunch, go shopping and then go to dinner and then go get drinks and go home because it's Saturday. I'm like, what in the world? Like, that's my, like, that's a car
all
payment.
Your spending money
that's,
for the week.
Right.
For the
all
month.
Of my spending money, like car payment, like everything.
Yeah.
Rent, half a rent. Like, what? No way. So have the moment to just get honest with yourself. And you don't even have to go to the patterns yet. You don't even have to get to, hey, what's my root cause? That takes some time. But start listening to podcasts. I think there are some podcasts that are really, really amazing that help people get to some of those places. And, you know,
there's a lot of free help out there.
Right.
And there's a lot of communities and Debtors Anonymous and things like that. There's tons of different, like, free options, I think.
Right. So it takes time. But, you know, you can do anything on the internet now. Like, internet has everything. Be cautious of where you're getting your information.
Yes.
But
triple check it.
It's so funny because I want to like wrap this into a bow and be like, so what's the number one, you know? Which is like the problem that we're all talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Like it there sounds just like isn't.
The tool that you're saying is really just to like slow down and think.
And look into it and get help and build a community and learn your feelings. And
love that. That works so well for my brain.
Right? So easy for everybody to do.
And we all just were like this.
Right. And circle back to the beginning. That's why it is simple, but not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that.
Brilliant. Well, here's what I would like to say. We have your brilliance here. And so we're going to do a little game that we are calling Would You Rather? And that is not dirty. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Okay, so I have different situationals.
Wait, do we have to answer stuff if we're talking ground rules here? Because you know how competitive
I
get.
How do I win?
I know. But I'm saying for ground rules, do we have to answer by like our first instinct or the therapized version of what we know we're supposed to doing?
I want the honest version of what you would do. Like, this is happening today. What are you doing?
Okay.
Today.
Right now.
Right
in this
now.
Moment.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay. I'm so nervous because it's a game.
Yes. Situation number one, you're going out to dinner, but you're feeling a little tight with money. Do you buy all of your friends' meals? Fuck it. Like you want to be the generous friend. Or do you own up that you can barely afford your own share?
Ugh. So this depends on who I'm out with. If I'm out with someone who has done a lot for me, I'm going to buy the thing for them. And then I'll on the back end, I'll sort it. But if it's just like my friends, I'll be like, guys, like it's hard living. Let's can we eat at Chipotle and then like make drinks at my house?
Oh, I'm absolutely fuck it.
And you are?
Yeah. If I'm with like my close friends, I'm for sure.
If it's just your friends, shouldn't you? We're like not even letting Asia get in here. I'm like, what?
This is it. Let's let this happen.
Because I'm like, it's your friends. They know you.
But if we're already, like, we're talking about going out for dinner. Okay.
This is why money is hard.
I mean, it really depends. Today, I think I'm stressed about money, but it's not forefront of my mind today. And I'm in, like, New York proper city instead of Brooklyn. I'm probably going out for dinner. And I'm probably not even just paying for myself. I'm probably like, oh, this is so fun. And I'm paying for it, and then I'm freaking out about it for the rest of the week. I'm like making all my meals, and they're like rice and lentils and whatever. And I don't know what that is, but I am also
Asia. Can you ask her why she feels like she needs to do that?
You know, I'm rounds.
You just love everyone, and you want to give it away, or like what is that?
I think I just want to have a good time, and then I'm like, I know that I can get myself out of it later, so I'm just gonna figure it out later.
Oh, we're going to talk about this over lunch, girl.
Who's buying?
Now that I'm buying because you've done a lot for me.
Like, Robin is definitely.
I'm seriously not letting you. By the way, talk about all of our money trauma. I'm not letting you because now I'm so panicked about your finances, but I'm also paying because I know you've done a lot for me. So this is like trauma on trauma on trauma.
We're just like rubbing each other's like back and forth, like soft spot.
Negative 1 points to both of us. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I love that you both want to save each other and be there for each other. But I do love I'm a friend's friend, so I get it. But communicating with your friends is the best option to say that you're having a hard time. And you don't even have to say you're having a hard time. Just be like, hey, I want to have a good time. I want to see you guys, but let's go to Chipotle and then make drinks somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or like cook at my house or whatever.
Yeah. I think that especially when friends are at different levels, it's really good to just be like, yo, can we just like not do 5-star? Mm. I have one friend who's just like always wants a really expensive steak. And I'm always like, girl, I'm freelance. Mm-hmm. Let's bring it down a notch.
Your friend gives you $100 for your birthday and says they want you to spend it on something nice for yourself. Do you put it aside and save it, or do you actually spend it on something fun?
I put $50 aside and then I spend $50 on myself. Except for I would have guilt because my friend gave me this money. Like if a parent or a relative or somebody gave me the money, then I feel like I'd do 50-50. If it was a friend, I think I'd feel bad saving a portion of it because like they didn't try to give me money to go into my retirement fund.
This just happened to me. And I put the money away and I lied.
I like that you're calling yourself out, though.
It wasn't for my birthday. It was like a New Year's gift or whatever. They were like, I didn't know what to get you. And I wanted to get you something because they had gotten like a bonus or whatever.
It's kind.
And I put it aside and I was like, I'm going to spend it on something nice. But then I didn't. Like,
okay,
I
but just so put Angel, it in my savings. But this is like, this made her care for herself more. That's okay,
I
right?
I agree. I think that's totally fine.
Oh. Cool.
So great. I think there's a difference, though, right?
Wait a minute. I put $50 in savings, too.
I think the difference is, and this actually goes to your point, is that if your money, if it was like a birthday gift, like this person is saying, hey, I want you to actually spend the money on yourself.
Yeah.
I would prefer if you didn't save that money and actually spent that money on yourself. However, your gift that you're talking about is, hey, here's a New Year's gift. It's like the holiday or the date doesn't matter.
I wanted to share it with
you. Right. I want to share it with you. So you putting that away is just like, yeah, could I buy something with this for myself? Of course. But I'm deciding to invest in myself. I'm doing this for future me.
I'm laughing because the but did I buy rounds of drinks for everyone last night? Yes. And am I panicked about that? Yes. Will this make me feel better? Yes.
Yep. So.
But we need to break the cycle first.
Yes. All right. So see you later for that. okay. Next situation. Your taxes are due in a week. Are you going to pay an expert to do them? You do not need an extra thing on your plate this week. Or are you setting aside your Saturday, making a pot of coffee, making a spreadsheet, and working it out on your damn self?
Oh, I'm 100% paying an expert. Mostly because they're going to get me more money back. We do well on our taxes. Like, I know enough to be dangerous.
Not we do well on our taxes.
We do. I got a Republican accountant who's like, I don't know what he's doing.
I pay an expert, though my taxes are absurdly complicated. Yeah. So I don't know if that's like a accurate depiction of who I feel like both of us as people are Saturday morning wasting time. But.
Well, I mean, I'm certainly going to spreadsheet going into the accountant and I'm going to do all that. But that has to be done.
So many caveats. I would normally say that the person should spend their Saturday doing their taxes, but the difference is that you're talking about is that it's complicated and there's a lot going on. And I feel the same way. I also pay somebody to do my taxes. I'm like, whoa, too many things, business, all this other stuff.
I mean, I think as soon as it's funny because that was one of the things for why we wanted to do this episode is it's around tax season now.
Right.
And it's like there's certain things is like it gets beyond what your knowledge is.
Yeah.
Get help. Like
I don't understand taxes nearly as much as I would like to understand them.
For me, it's growth to be like, I'm letting go and I am trusting that this man can help me with my finances because, sure, I could learn it. Is that a good ROI on my time? No. No, it is not.
And if you wanted to, great. But if you're not really too jazzed about it,
that's true. Like, I'll do my mom's taxes, but I'm not doing my taxes.
Well, that's because you're a helper.
Yes. See? Also because her taxes are incredibly easy. Okay, last one.
Wait, hold on. Before we ask the last one, I'm winning, right, Asia?
I'm not keeping count.
Your car just broke down, eek. And a credit card just arrived in the post. Are you using the credit card for a quick fix? Or are you dealing with the pain of not having a car for a month and slowly paying it off. I'm going to say for 3 months and slowly paying it off.
Well, I mean, for that, it depends. Do I need the car? Like, if it's a necessity, then I'm going to personally, like, I'm going to use the card and then I'm going to budget during those 3 months so that I can pay it off. If it's a luxury, the car, well, then it's going to sit for the 3 months until I can save the money.
I do feel like this is harder for me to answer because I've never had a car. I think if I'm like extending this, I'm not putting anything on my credit card that's a big expense ever. Like, even if it was a necessity, I don't think. I mean,
yeah.
Even if, like, let's say the credit card payment was $20 a month and then I don't know how to do math, but over time that was, let's say it was $100, okay? If I had to put it on the credit card, even though I knew I would pay it off in 5 weeks, I still wouldn't put it on the credit card.
Because
even if I had the money in savings.
Oh, just because it would make you, like, anxious?
Yeah.
I mean, I would. I have, like, multiple backup savings. Like, so I would take it out of that and then I would put in my financial notes for the month how much needed to be paid off and how quickly, and then I would cut my...
It sounds like neither one of you are taking on debt.
No.
But what's healthier?
Me. I win. Come on, Aisha.
Or what's the healthy thing to do in that situation?
I mean, to me, it sounds like, and that wasn't an option, but we're going to enter it in as an option if you have the savings to be able to pay for the car and then put that back. That is the healthier option. And I think I want to be careful between healthy and like necessity, because sometimes necessity is not the best financial decision.
Sure.
Sometimes necessity isn't the healthiest decision, but like if this is what you take to get to work every single day and if you can't work, then what happens?
It depends.
Well, it's which just, is like a true therapist answer. Yeah. I'm like, it depends. I love it.
But that's the whole truth.
That's and this is such a nice place for us to leave, right? Is it's the whole thing is situational. The whole thing is about your relationship to money. In answering that question, that's the one question where I'm at my healthiest. Mm-hmm. Like, I know how much I need to have in savings. That's a smart number to have for emergencies. That's what it's there for. I'm pulling it out and then I'm putting it back and I'm budgeting and I'm not doing it from a place of fear. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it is all situational, but my answer to three of the other questions was coming from a place of fear. So it's like catching yourself. Like we talk all the time about the rubber band, like if you're quitting smoking, like catching yourself, snapping the rubber band and being like, I'm in that place. What can I do to come out of that place? And then what's the smart decision that Aisha has helped me come up with?
Yeah. I mean, also a lot of the other situations involve somebody else. And as two helpers, that is going to rub up against other things.
Isn't that interesting?
I love that we're ending on that and you just hit the plant for the third time. So.
I know. And only three times. I thought it'd be 1,000.
I said 50.
I want to say thank you for coming. And I do want to say, if you want more Aisha Evans, which who would not? She is Aisha E. Evans on Instagram. It's A-J-A-E.
Therapy.
Oh, therapy. I'm sorry. Aja E Therapy on Instagram. Is there any place else that people can catch you or if they want to reach out to you?
Yeah. Instagram is always good. My website, you can feel free to contact me there, which is AsiaEvansCounseling.com. And yeah, I'm around. LinkedIn, all the things.
I'm around. I'm available. And thank you. I mean, like, I don't know, go save some money, everybody.
Yeah. And feel good about it.
Oh, that's a better.
That's a better one.
Nice ending. All right. Good job.
I won.
She took over. What? For more Robin, and you may need that. You probably don't need it, but like if you do, you can follow me at Real Rob Hops on all the platforms, all the socials, as the kids today say. Well Adjusting is an Edit Audio original series. It's exec produced by Steph Colburn and Robin Hopkins. Our producer and editor is Maria Passingham, and our production manager is Kathleen Speckert. Thank you to the entire Edit Audio team and to you for listening. Oh, hey, before you take out those AirPods, this show is just for entertainment. If you are in need of help, please, please, please reach out to a professional. Go ahead and get that help. You deserve it.